Hello, Max Mac Cases. This is Nuke Jess, and I've got another episode of Nutty White's Dinner and a Movie for the dog days of podcasting. Tonight, I'm going to be talking about honorable mentions. So technically, this is the last episode. This is day 30. We've been through 30 dinners and movies, or movies and dinners, whatever. I've given you 30 reviews, and there's so many more that I would love to talk about, and maybe I will someday, but a couple of things I definitely want to make sure that you don't miss out on. So I'm just going to give you a quick thing. I started writing in a notebook, and when I started running out of room, I stopped. So one of them is Miss Fisher's Mysteries, which is a New Zealand production, and it takes place post-World War I, and it's a lot of fun. It uses a lot of historical influence for creating these mysteries, and the characters are, they're just fun. You just want to watch them. The action is kind of choppy, but in a fun way. I mean, they definitely know their limitations, but they just keep going with it. The costumes are beautiful. The acting is a lot of fun. Totally check that out. Twinsters is a documentary about two young women who discovered because of a YouTube video that they were twins. They were both adopted from Korea. I think it was Korea. I'm pretty sure. I say that because I'm pretty sure that, because it, my brother is Korean and adopted, and I think that it had something to do with that, which is why I watched it. But anyway, so one was adopted to a family in France. And I think it was France, or maybe it was England. She was living in England. I think she was originally from France. And then the other was adopted to a family in America. And one of them, their friend saw a YouTube video with the other and was like, this girl looks exactly like you. She's got the same birthday. And as it turns out, that they were twins. And it's a really, really beautiful documentary. So you should check that out. Grandma, it's an independent movie starring Lily Tomlin, and we've already heard me gush about how much I love her, so that's pretty interesting. It's basically about a grandma whose granddaughter comes to her because she's in crisis, and they spend a day together, and you learn a lot about the grandma and different things of life, and there's a lot of actors in it that you know it. I enjoyed it a lot. It's not for everyone, that's for sure, but if you're into like indie stuff, totally check it out. Plus, it definitely works for the whole LGBTQ stuff. The Real History of Science Fiction. This is a BBC series, and it's a documentary series about science fiction, and each episode they tackle a different topic. So like one episode's about time travel, and one episode's about space, and they get people, you know, authors involved, and actors and producers and directors, and they just go into a lot of detail, and I really enjoyed it. I think you should check that out. Turn Washington Spies. This is a series that's done in the States. It's very interesting, and I really enjoy it, and I like how they're playing with the history, although some stuff is completely off. But the spies are from Long Island, which is where I grew up. They are not filming in Long Island, and everything is all wrong. So every time they're referencing something like that, looks nothing like Setauket, and no, that's not what that looks like, and that's not what that looks like. So it gets a little frustrating, but the show is quite fun, and it's enjoyable. Plus, is it Dr. Phlox? There's so many actors in it that are really good, but I was very surprised to see Dr. Phlox from Enterprise as a Quaker. Just really good. Rebellion, this is a short miniseries about the Easter Rising. I enjoyed it. I thought it was a lot of fun. I come from, I'm a second generation Irish Catholic family, so from the north, you may have some idea on where my family leans in that regard and why Easter Rising was really interesting for me, and I enjoyed it. And I'm not going to say much more than that. F is for Family. It is a Netflix original. It's it's one of these things, like, I feel like I didn't like it when I first started watching it, but I ended up really enjoying it. I liked it. It's like that 70s show meets, I don't know, something. I can't tell what it meets. It's a lot. It's enjoyable. I liked it. And the voice work is pretty great. Master of None, that's Aziz Ansari. I'm probably saying his name wrong. I always do. He's a comedian, but this is not a stand-up thing. This is him doing his own series, and I love it. It is really good. And you think it's just a bunch of, like, one-off episodes about different topics, but it's not till the end that you realize there's an overarching story going on here. And they kind of snuck it in there. If you're not going to watch the whole series, at least watch the one Indians on TV. That is amazing. It's such a good episode. And it really puts things into perspective. By the way, almost all of these you can get on Netflix. Brooklyn Nine-Nine, I'm not current with what's out there, but I am current with what's on Netflix, and I'm not really, like, into procedurals or, you know, cop shows and stuff, but this is a little bit different. It's more than a sitcom, and the acting for most people is really great, and the cast is pretty awesome, and it's pretty progressive. I enjoy it. Asterix and Obelix, The Mansion of the Gods. This is like a CG cartoon. I love it. If you've ever seen Asterix and Obelix before, you will love it. If you've ever read the comics, you will love it. If you've never heard of it, it's a fun series. It's about this tiny Gaul village that is the only, the last resistance to Caesar and the Romans. And the reason so is that they have this magic potion that makes him super strong. And Obelix, he fell into it when he was a baby, so he's like this giant super strong guy. And Asterix is like the brains. And it's something I've adored. Gotham Season 1 is on Netflix. And I wasn't good. I've heard so many things about this that I wasn't really interested in it. In even trying it. And then I finally did, just to give it a shot, because I'm such a Batman fan. And I really enjoyed it. Yeah, I've got my nitpicks and stuff, but I had a lot of fun. I think that this is one of those shows that benefits from binge watching. I think I would lose interest with it if I had to wait every week to watch it. So, I don't know, if you tried Gotham and you couldn't get into it, try binge watching it. See what you think. Paul, this is another one of those Nick Frost and Simon Pegg movies. It's the one where they meet an alien. It's voiced by Seth Rogen. It looked so stupid, but when I watched it, it was so funny. I was really, really into that. So much better than I thought it would be. So check that out. Downton Abbey. Yes, everybody has seen Downton Abbey, and I've been resisting for so long because, oh, this is not what I would care about, and I don't care about drama, blah, blah, blah. But I eventually started watching it, and it's really interesting. And I know that what I'm interested in is not what everybody else is interested in, probably. But I love Maggie Smith and the other lady. Those are my favorites. I love watching the old people. That's my favorite part of it. It was really well done, and everybody's really, really good acting. House of Lies. This is Don Cheadle and Kristen Bell. From Veronica Mars, and it is raunchy and dirty and awesome. It is really well done. You should, it's about consultants, management consultants, and they are awful, horrible people, but it's a really good show, and they tackle some pretty serious topics. And yeah, there's lots of swearing, lots of sweat, sex, and just expect that. But the storytelling device is really awesome because you're watching everything happen, and then every now and then Don Cheadle's character will look into the camera and kind of like walk out of the shot and sometimes interact with the shot and do the whole like Zach Morris talking his thoughts, and I enjoy it. Drop Dead Diva, That's a guilty pleasure of mine. I just have so much fun. It's so bad. I'm going to tell you this right now. It is so bad. But if you don't want to think and you just want cheesy fun, you can turn it on. Ruby. I love Ruby. And I did not dedicate an episode to Ruby because I have already dedicated like a 2-hour episode to Ruby. And we're going to be recording another episode about season 3 of Ruby that we'd like to get out before season 4 drops. Ruby is an anime. I don't care what other people say. It's an anime. It may not be from Japan, but it's still an anime. And it's about these girls that, well, and guys, these young people that live in a world where there are monsters. And they learn to fight these monsters. And it is amazing. It references so many other anime and the tropes, and you fall in love with them, and the voice acting is, for most of the originals are really well done. The music is great, and they've got awesome weapons, and like her scythe, she has a scythe that's also a sniper rifle, and they use it to propel themselves around. It is fantastic. I highly recommend it. It's all on Netflix or Crunchyroll or YouTube or Rooster Teeth or wherever you want to go. Just find it. You'll be able to watch it. Last Tango in Halifax is another one of my love watching old people stories. It's an old people drama. If you like that, go for it. Lots of really good acting. Lots of compelling drama. The Paradise. It's about a woman starting to work at one of the first department stores and in England, and it's fun. It is a drama. It is soap opera-y, but it is fun and lots of pretty costumes. I will definitely say there's lots of pretty costumes. Now, Trailer Park Boys, here's one. This is a piece of Canadiana. So when I first moved to Canada, I was living in Nova Scotia, which is where this was filmed. And it was on TV, like, all the time. And so I do credit some of my culture coming from there. It's fantastic. It's a mockumentary style. And it's a bunch of criminals living in a trailer park trying to figure out schemes so that they don't have to work and failing miserably. And it's fun. It's just a lot of fun. Turn your brain off fun. Call the Midwife, that is another BBC series. It's about nurses just before the, or just around the time the NHS was being built up, and dealing with post-World War II situations. And it's very interesting. It's narrated by Lynn Redgrave. It's got amazing actors in it. And you will cry. I'm not going to lie. You are going to cry. But it's really good. Luther, which is another British series, and it's where most people know Idris Elba from. It is violent. It is awesome. It is so good. He plays a cop that is constantly on the edge of just going bad, and I love it. Skins is another guilty pleasure. That's another BBC show. It's a bunch of teenagers being stupid teenagers and doing stupid things. For some reason, I watched all of the seasons, and I don't know why. It's like hate watching. Being Human UK, amazing, awesome. I don't know if it's available on US Netflix. It is on Canadian Netflix. We get a lot more of the British shows, so there are bonuses. Fringe, which I heard, I think, is coming off of Netflix. But if you can watch it, check it out. It's like X-Files, only with more compelling stories and more of a driving plot. I love it. I think it's really good. It takes a while to get into because when I first watched it, like, I watched the pilot and I got bored and I stopped watching. And then Aaron Makeham from Sci-Fi Dig was talking about it. And I was like, oh, I'll have to give it another chance because if Aaron likes it, it can't be horrible. So I did. I checked it out and it was fantastic. So yeah, Fringe. It's awesome. Check it out before it's off Netflix. And the last one is not on Netflix. It's not on any streaming service. You have to get the DVDs, but you should get the DVDs because it is that good. And that is Babylon 5. Remember I was talking about Sense8 from the Wachowski siblings and JMS? Well, this is JMS's first. He is the guy that came up, well, not came up with, but he's the guy that made doing five season story arcs a thing. And that's kind of like what he does. He doesn't like to just go in and not know where he's going. He likes to have a full plan. And Babylon 5, he even had like back doors so that if any of the actors needed out, he could handle it and he could plan for it. And it's pretty amazing. Now, some people are like, oh my God, the graphics are horrible. It was Amiga toasters, you know? I mean, it was really cutting edge for the time, and now it looks really cheesy. But even then, it's not bad. And it's filmed in widescreen. It was not aired in widescreen. He just had, like, forward-thinking vision. And there's a great podcast for it, by the way, the Down Below podcast. It's an intro cast, and it's one of the only intro casts where all of the newbies loved it from season one. That takes a lot. Usually in intro cast, it takes a while for the newbies to get into it. And Babylon 5, yeah, it's good. I mean, yeah, there's some episodes where you're like, wow, that was really... But on the whole, it's, you know, a bad episode of Babylon 5 is still a better episode than regular TV. So if you haven't seen it, check it out. You will thank me. And that's my honorable mentions. It was really great doing this with everybody. This season, I think I've said it, it is my favorite season of Dog Days of Podcasting. I kind of wish I was in Dragon Con, being able to see everybody for the wrap-up, but I don't know. It's one of the few times where I'm like, wow, I kind of wish I was at Dragon Con. But I really enjoyed it. I love listening to everybody. Everybody had really interesting podcasts to hear this year. Some people faded. Some people didn't get as many in. Some people joined late. Some people were very sporadic, but it was good. Like, every episode I listened to, I didn't skip episodes. I'm a little behind on episodes and it takes a bit, but this was a really good year, and I'm very happy that I did it. And I'm looking forward to next year. Every year I think, it's going to get to the point where it's going to be too many people and it's not going to be manageable. But, I don't know, this year was the best so far, so hopefully this continues. So, if you're not subscribed, go to nimlas.org, nimlas.org, and you can find subscribe links to Netty Bites, and you can listen to the rest of my episodes. And if you've got a podcatcher app, just look for Netty Bites. You'll find me. I'm very searchable. And enjoy. And you'll get more episodes, you know. I do a nice long hour-long show once a month, and every now and then I throw bonus content in, and there you go. I've got a lot of episodes, a lot of new podcasts I'm going to be adding to my regular listening this year. That's another good thing about listening to the whole feed of the Dog Days, is you end up getting new shows to listen to, and I've got about five of them. As long as these people continue podcasting this way, or at least, you know, podcasting, not every day, but podcasting, I've got, I think, about five to add to my podcatcher app. So we'll see. All right. Enjoy, and I will talk to you again real soon. Netty Bites is produced by Nimlas Studios under a Creative Commons Attribution No Commercial Non-Derivatives 3.0 International License. That means you can't change it without my permission. You can share it and send it to your friends. Just link back to me, my site, and everything. We live at nimlas.org, which has links to everything social media, including facebook.com/group/nettybites and patreon.com/nukejoss, or call 347-Nutty42.